Welcome to Goddess Era. I'm Lucy Caratti, medical doctor, set to empower you through the metamorphosis of menopause.
There's still a huge amount of mystery and unknowingness around perimenopause.
Estrogen affects every cell in the body.
Because it's just not only a woman or a girl's problem.
Hear from experts and those with lived experience.
Help them become more connected to actually what's gone on in their physiology.
I had a total hysterectomy.
It affects your children, your partner, your family.
As we arm you with the tools for the transition.
It's the biggest acting job, or is being myself.
It's been empowering.
Together, let's unlock your inner goddess. So joining me on this episode is Grace Malloy, CEO of Menopause Friendly Australia. Welcome, Grace.
Thank you, Lucy. Delighted to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us to talk about menopause in the workplace, which is such a huge issue. I saw a stat recently that 13% of women leave the workforce due to menopausal symptoms. Is that what you're seeing?
So many stats coming out about this, and one of the things that we really want to see in Australia is some proper data about what is the impact of menopause on people leaving the workplace. We see statistics in the UK that show that up to 1 in 10 people will leave the workforce, and CircleIn did some research in 2021 which showed that 48% of people wanted to leave work or take an extended break when they were having severe menopause symptoms. So I think one of the things we do need to do is quantify, well, what is the exact impact in Australia? Anecdotally, people tell us all the time in our training sessions that they're struggling. So we really need to get some better information in Australia about what that stat looks like.
Because I guess on top of people leaving the workforce, there's also people that stay in the workforce but kind of suffer through it and are not being as productive as they could be, having leave of absence. So I guess...
Absolutely. So aside from the people who can leave, you know, you think about people who can't leave their job. They are financially constrained to that role. And what that means is we have people in workplaces who are not feeling great. They don't want to be there. So we have presenteeism as well, which is where people are in roles, but they're not feeling great. And really this all adds up to effects on people, on individuals, not getting the right support and the right care, but also on workplaces, on workplace culture. And it really does reduce the overall productivity of our workplaces as well when we have people that are at work that don't feel great.
And I think this is where menopause is not just a female issue. We've said quite a few times, you know, you're going to know someone that's going through menopause, whether it's a workplace colleague. So really understanding a bit more about what they might be going through can go miles.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we work with many male-dominated workplaces. Some have up to 80% of their workforce are males. And the reason why they're addressing menopause is because they want to change that. You know, they want to be more inclusive and they want to see more women working for them. But also those men will also have partners going through menopause. And many of them tell us, actually, the impact of menopause on my working career, it does have an impact because I'm up at night with my wife who's having night sweats. She's got drenching night sweats. She's up four times a night, which means that I'm up four times a night. And then when I'm going to work, I'm not as effective as I'm able to be. I haven't slept either. And so there's a huge effect, not only from the individual experiencing it, but our loved ones and our colleagues as well. It's really a topic for everyone.
So what is the biggest impact menopause is having on women in the workplace?
The main thing that we see is that women don't realise that they're in perimenopause or menopause. They tell us that they're feeling not themselves. They say, I'm feeling really stressed and anxious. I don't actually have any new stresses put on me. There's no extra pressure at work. There's no extra life events, but I'm just feeling that I'm not able to cope with the things that I used to be able to cope with. Many women experience a huge loss of confidence because of some of the brain fog symptoms that they're experiencing. So you can imagine if you're usually at the top of your game, you're an A-type personality, you're a CFO of a company, you're doing really well, you've had to fight to get to that career position probably, and then you start to feel that you're not able to concentrate as well, you might be forgetful, you might not be able to complete tasks in the way that you used to be able to complete tasks. That's going to get you questioning whether or not you're able to do your role in the way that you used to. And many women say, I feel like I'm going through early dementia, or I'd rather leave without people noticing or seeing that I'm actually, you know, struggling to do the things that I used to be able to do. So, I mean, this is a really, you know, it's terrible for women to feel this way in the workplace because, as I said before, we've had to really fight to get where we are. And it's really a shame that women don't realise that there are strategies that could be put in place to help them feel better. And to open up about what they're experiencing, because as I said, there's such a huge talent of women in the workplace that are leaving early. Some of the stats around that actually is that women retire on average at the age of 52 in Australia. Now, I know some amazing women in their 50s who, you know, really we don't want to be leaving the workforce early. So it is not only from an individual perspective, but also from a workplace perspective, an imperative that we start opening up the conversation and helping people normalize that conversation so that they know they're not alone, that these symptoms are really common and that there's ways that we can support people too.
Awesome. And those symptoms, they really, I find women's self-esteem during this time just takes a hit no matter what, however you're feeling. And that can really, especially as you say, in those male-dominated workplaces where you're really having to step up and try and, as we talked about before, be masculine because that's what's productive in those times. You can see how it really affects women, you know, even when they leave the workplace and go home because they're just feeling not themselves and not adequate enough.
Absolutely. I mean, I myself in my late 30s started to feel this way. I was in a job that I loved. I'd retrained as a registered nurse in midlife with a couple of young kids. I was working in medical research. I was absolutely, in, you know, just so thrilled to be where I was in life. But suddenly I felt as though I couldn't cope. I'd come home from work crying every night. I'd sit on the back veranda and have a nice big glass of Chardonnay every day to make myself feel better. And it was really, I was tearful and I didn't know why and I didn't know what was causing this, but I assumed it must have been work. And I think that that's something that many women assume, is it must be pressure from work because other things haven't changed, but yet I just feel not myself and like I can't cope and like I'm failing. Again, you know, this is something that we want to talk more about because it's a normal part of life to have this awakening in your midlife as well, to really think about, am I where I thought I would be at this time of life? And that can be tricky for women when we're thinking about, you know, where we are, where we want to go. It can be a real reflective time for us. So really, I think the more we can talk about the, you know, experiences that we're having, sharing with others and helping people to know that they're not alone, that's really the most important part of what we're doing.
And so for people that are on the other side of this, so there might be some employers out there that are thinking, how can I support my women and make it a menopause-friendly workplace? What are some of the things that workplaces can do to support women and optimise their productivity during this time of life, and why is it of great benefit?
So the workplace imperative is really there. What we see is that women are really dropping out of the workforce around the mid-50s. So the impact on workplaces is that we don't have women in leadership roles. Our gender pay gap in Australia is really embarrassing as a country. It's 21.7% is our gender pay gap. And workplaces are striving for productivity. So many of the workplaces that we work with, they understand that supporting people through this life phase can not only help those individuals, but also help their business performance as well. Some of the main things that we suggest that an organisation does is, first of all, it's got to come from the top. So the leaders in the organisations really need to get on board and signal to the organisation that talking about menopause is welcome in our environment and in our workplace. We've seen many inspirational CEOs that are men who are stepping up and really talking about menopause to say and really signal to everyone that it's a topic of conversation that's fine in the workplace. So really opening up that conversation and making it a psychologically safe place for people to talk about. The next thing I think that's really important is writing down and having a guidance or a policy document for people to access when they're looking for support at work. Just like we do with parental leave, we've got policies and guidances around that. So putting some frameworks in place so that people who are either experiencing menopause or those who are supporting their team members who might be experiencing menopause can go somewhere and read about what the symptoms are and what supports they can put in place for their team members. And the last one is, you know, training. So just like we did 15 years ago with mental health, we were a bit scared to talk about mental health in the workplace. And we thought, oh, I'm not sure how to have a conversation with someone about that. We now see many workplaces as a minimum standard have mental health champions. And it's the same with menopause. And I think having that training can really help someone to feel confident in having that conversation, particularly if they haven't experienced it themselves or they will never experience it themselves, so that they feel really comfortable and secure in that conversation. And I think, again, it's, I loved listening to your first podcast episode, Lucy, where you talked about, making this time of life not attached with stigma and shame and actually celebrating the amazingness of the people in this life phase. And really changing that perception and looking at what can come from menopause that's actually really powerful.
Amazing. Because I still find so many women even find it embarrassing to say, oh, I'm having a hot flush.
Yeah.
And we're like celebrating these people that are sort of saying it on live TV and everything. But, I mean, that is just something that happens. It's really not an embarrassing thing. And so I totally get that.
It can be embarrassing though, can't it? I mean, having a hot flush or you forget what you were talking about mid-sentence in a meeting and you think, oh, my
brain
goodness.
Brain fog is horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, even the heavy periods, you know. I actually read some research recently that said that 90% of women will have at least one heavy flooding period during menopause. We don't think about that when we think about menopause, do we? We think about period stopping. And again, it's something that few people realise might happen. And if you think about the being in the workplace, you know, even being in a meeting and feeling a heavy flooding period coming on, or being a school teacher in front of a class, a nurse performing a procedure, a doctor, you know, this is really challenging for people. And again, it can be embarrassing. So I think we need to start the conversation so that people, you know, can feel that they can get the right support. But also, you know, podcasts like yours talking about it openly really helps to spread what menopause is and what it's not.
I know everyone's going to wish we'd stop talk about menopause, but never. Have you seen a change in the response of workplaces to older women?
I actually looked at some stats with this yesterday. We did a webinar around the ageing population in Australia. Certainly, I think we're starting that conversation. I don't think we've seen enough work in this area yet. But when you look at our population pyramid in Australia, we actually have, and we're moving to having a lot more people in their mid to late years. And we're going to need more people to work in organisations as our productivity grows. So we're going to employ more people from higher age brackets. So workplaces do need to think about what ageism looks like at the moment. Are they discriminating against people based on the age? And we hear many people tell us that they struggle to get jobs when they're in their 50s, particularly women who have dropped out of the workforce, maybe because of perimenopause or menopause, who have then got the right support and thought, oh, actually, I feel like I want to get back into work now. They've told us that it's been difficult for them to get back into the workplace and that there is a bit of a stigma attached with their age. So I think absolutely there's a long way to go for workplaces, but it is something that is going to be more and more spoken about in the next, I think, decade as we see we're going to need more people to work in businesses and we've got an ageing population.
And I think as women transition through that time of life with a better self-esteem and understanding of what they're going to put themselves forward a bit more as well, because I think sometimes it's women don't think that they're going to be good enough, they feel a bit invisible, so it can come from both sides as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so many women actually after menopause and post-menopause say, I actually feel better than I've ever felt before. I don't have those hormone fluctuations to deal with anymore, but I actually know who I am now. You know, listening to your podcast with Kate Walsh, you know, and her saying she really came into feeling like she knew who she was. That is, again, the story that we hear from many women, that they have this extra sense of confidence that can come from that time of life, really not sweating the small stuff anymore. And that's really productive in a workplace. You know, I want people working for me who I feel that they're confident and they're really productive and they know who they are and they feel a sense of accomplishment. We also see many women looking at what work can I do that aligns with my values. So again, women are looking at different role types, they're looking at different organisations, and they're looking at how they can use this knowledge and wisdom, good and to work for organisations where they feel a real alignment with their values too.
Because I see a lot of patients coming in, and particularly in high, you know, high-powered women in those real corporate male-dominated workplaces who come in and they sit there and they get, I sat there at the board meeting and I looked around and I was like, I don't give a stuff. I don't need to cater to all of your personalities anymore and make sure that your egos are okay. They actually changed their own focus. They used to thrive on that masculine energy and love being around it and were really recharged. And all of a sudden something changes where they go, no, this doesn't serve me anymore. And that's a really interesting side of that, not having to cater and not having to nurture other people, just looking after yourself, which is so amazing.
Absolutely. I love that. And many people tell me as well, I myself have felt this real shift in that nurturing hormone and that nurturing feeling. I think when we're younger and we feel, you know, we're raising children, we feel, you know, we feel nurturing towards lots of people. And during menopause, when our hormones are changing, that can actually change and we can feel it's actually not my job to look after everyone. I'm actually going to maybe start looking after myself. But also speaking up, I think that confidence and that ability to say, you know what, I don't have to take this anymore. What have I got to lose? I'm in this stage of life now where I'm going to say what I think. And someone actually said to me the other day, everyone should fear a 50-year-old woman who just doesn't give a stuff anymore. They didn't say stuff. They used a four-letter word, Lucy, but I won't say that on your podcast for fear of you getting banned from Spotify.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just think that's the stuff we need to be talking about. It's a really beautiful, empowering time for women.
Yeah, and I think if I look back 15 years ago when I was involved in gender programs to get more women onto boards, I remember going to an event where a woman sat on a stage and told the crowd that once she started speaking more like a man, dressing more like a man and having more masculine hobbies, that's when she noticed that she was able to get more roles on boards and when her executive career really kicked off. That to me was quite shocking, and I really do feel as though we're moving on from that now, where we know that diversity is important on boards. We see performance of organisations where diversity is higher, performance is higher, and pretending and looking and sounding like a man is the complete opposite of diversity. We need diversity of opinion, thought, of, you know, women, men, non-binary, people from different backgrounds. You know, it's really now a conversation that's changed, and we are starting to value more that feminine approach to things. We know that many women are powerful decision makers in the household on household spending. I think brands are looking at how they can appeal more to women and to women decision makers, and boards are starting to realise that having that groupthink and having everyone around you who's looking the same, sounding the same, saying the same things doesn't benefit anyone.
No, not at all. What I find tricky to advise women when they're really struggling through this perimenopausal time is that it's a time to step back and say no, which is great for some people. But when it's a 5-day a week, you know, 9-to-5 job, that can be quite tricky. Is that something where workplaces can be a bit more flexible about maybe working from home certain days, do you think? I mean, I think COVID kind of helped us a little bit with the ability that productivity can be even more if you're working from home. Is that something as well that is in a conversation with workplaces?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of pieces to that. The first piece around saying no, it's so hard, isn't it? I think, you know, especially when we're so, we want to do the right, we want to do everything. We want everything. And saying no, I think, also becomes easier as we get older and we realise we're only here for a short time and we need to prioritise what we spend our time and our energies. And we see that absolutely in menopause. Talking about flexibility and what workplaces are doing and COVID, absolutely. We've seen we can trust people to work from home. We can have people who are really productive working from different locations. And flexibility is the number one thing that women say would be helpful for them in the workplace around this time. So absolutely, workplaces are looking at flexible working policies. And it's not just about working from home, it's also flexibility of tasks. So if I've had a terrible night's sleep, and sleep is one of the things, again, that women say is the most impactful to them at work, if I've had a terrible night's sleep, maybe today's not the day when I run through the annual report with the CEO. Maybe, you know, do this really difficult cognitive task. Maybe I can put that off till tomorrow, or maybe I can do it in the afternoon when I'm feeling like I've got a little bit more rest. So it's looking at all different types of different flexibility. And the other thing as well for workplaces is facilities and the environment, the working environment. And we know that many workplaces have uniforms that are not suitable for people experiencing hot flushes and some of those more heavy menstrual bleeding symptoms, having extra uniforms, having places where people go during the day to take a break or some time out, you know, getting outside, looking at how we're taking those breaks throughout the day as well. So there's some really practical things that don't really cost a lot of money that workplaces can start implementing to help people really feel like they're valued and that the workplace is considering how some of those more physical adjustments can really support them to stay engaged at work while they're there.
So there's lots of businesses that are doing the right thing and really trying to tackle this head on. But if you, for the people out there that do want to speak to their employer about menopause but just don't know where to start, what's your advice?
Great question. And I think the first thing to do is to have a look and see whether your workplace has an existing policy or some support. There are many that we hear do in Australia already, and we're working with many who are putting those in place. So have a look around your intranet and see if there's a menopause policy or a flexible workplace policy to start with. If not, one of the best things you can do is download our menopause-friendly checklist off of our website, and I'm sure you'll put that in the show notes, and bring that to your workplace and say, look, actually, I'm experiencing some symptoms and, you know, there might be others in the workplace who are, have you thought about how we can maybe make some supports available within our workplace, a policy or a guidance? I found this checklist on the website. For many people, they tell us, I also feel uncomfortable talking about it because I don't want to be stigmatised or I don't want someone to look at me like I'm not capable and competent. So I think it's also about finding those other people within the workplace who might also be experiencing symptoms, having a conversation with them and building those networks within your organisation to support one another. Especially if you have people within your workplace who are also supportive diversity, equity, inclusion champions, mental health first aiders, you know, finding those people within the workplace who are going to be sympathetic to what you're experiencing and then, you know, asking them, can we talk about what support might be helpful for me in the workplace with the symptoms that I'm experiencing, and really focusing that conversation on the workplace and what actually would be helpful for you. So again, having a think about what am I experiencing, how's it impacting me at work, and what would I really want to get out of a conversation with my workplace that would be helpful so that that conversation's really constructive and proactive as well.
Awesome. Some great tips there. I hope lots of women are getting some advice on how they can be productive and comfortable and, you know, optimise their time in the workforce. So thanks so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Lucy.